Yeah, nice to have your company this morning on Summer Breakfast. And gee whiz, it's good that the cricket is underway, or the Big Bash anyway, with the first game last night held at the Gabba between the Brisbane Heat and the Melbourne Stars. And for the Stars, it was not the perfect way to start. They were thrashed. The Brisbane Heat, far too good. Colin Munro's 99 not out, setting them up for victory. And we're looking forward to the Sixers and the Renegades tonight at the SCG. And Daniel Cheney from Code Sports joins us to have a chat about that, and also about some issues in the lead up to the first test against Pakistan. Morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning. Good to be with you. Yeah, all going well, thank you.
What did you make of the Brisbane Heat's performance last night? They absolutely belted the Melbourne Stars.
Yeah, it was pretty comprehensive. I mean, they got a nice boost in the day or so leading up to the match when Michael Nisa came back into the squad. It was a strange turn of events with Nisa, who's obviously sort of on the fringe of the test side and has been a fantastic player across all formats for a long period of time, you know, mainly with ball but also with bat. He was in the Prime Minister's 11 squad, was withdrawn sort of on the eve of that game with soreness, and then ends up popping up for a match that started a day later on the Thursday night, which I suspect irked the Melbourne Stars. But nonetheless, he was great, and he took a couple of early wickets in the run chase to pretty much finish the deal. I mean, Glenn Maxwell clearly was always a threat, but when he departed, Mitchell Swepson bowled really well, then there was really no chance. And then with the bat earlier, the Heat had done a great job as well. Clearly, Colin Munro had done the most damage, but some nice support acts from the likes of Sam Billings and Marnus Labuschagne. So, it was all very much one-sided and a really poor start for the Melbourne Stars, and it does loom as a bit of a long season for them again.
Yeah, they've made a bit of a habit of that, haven't they, starting the season poorly. So they'd be very disappointed this morning with the way that they've started their campaign. And although it is only game one, were there, in your opinion, a few little worrying signs for them as well last night?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, look, it was good to see Hilton Cartwright make some runs. I think he's been a pretty handy contributor for them since he came along. But the bowling was taken apart, and I mean, they were disappointed. You know, they had some bad luck in the lead up with Harris Ralph unable to play, Scott Boland, who was never going to play much of this season, but not being cleared to play for the first game. But they, you know, they were taken apart. The spin didn't look overly dangerous. Maxwell was attacked. So you just sort of think that without Adam Zampa, who has been their best bowler for such a long period of time, having been traded to the Melbourne Renegades, you think, gee, they're gonna take some stick. And then with a bat, again, it's just so long. They've been so heavily reliant on Maxwell, Stoinis, and probably to a lesser extent Cartwright. And there's just not enough around otherwise. The top order folded very quickly there, or the openers did. Joe Burns just, you know, he hung around but never really got going. I just wonder if there's, I'm just not sure there's enough depth there, really, with bat or ball. And the net run rate's already taken a fair hit early in the tournament. So, and they don't have as long to turn around either, because it's a 10-game season. So, look, it's not completely dead and buried by any stretch, but a very poor start, and they got a lot of work to do to turn things around.
Yeah, just on the Scott Boland being rested fact, I guess, what do you make of all this? It's interesting, Cricket Australia holding these guys back, the bowlers, from being able to participate in the Big Bash before the first test. So no Scott Boland. I think Nathan Lyons expressed that he would have liked to have played this week, but he won't be able to do so. And, you know, particularly in the case of Scott Boland, who's very unlikely to actually be playing in the first test, he'd probably only play if there was an injury in the lead-up. How's that news been received, or that decision been received by Cricket Australia?
Oh, look, it's certainly polarised, certainly divided opinion. And I understand where Cricket Australia are coming from, and then that they want to protect fast bowlers. And look, you're right, Scott Boland is unlikely to play, but he's only one minor injury away from playing, so he's not like he's a million miles off. And he's in part of the test squad, and it's a big test summer coming up with I know it's not big in the sense of the opponents, but they do have seven tests coming up inside 3 months. The frontline quicks are all over 30, as has Scott Boland, so you understand treating them with kid gloves to an extent. But I also think that, you know, you're a week out from the first test, it's four overs. As you said, a guy is probably not likely to play. And, you know, Cricket Australia, I think, I'm just not sure at times the left hand talks to the right hand. Or if it does, there's tension between the two hands, the two sides of the business, so to speak. I mean, I understand the high performance being concerned with managing these guys to within an inch of their life, but it's an imperfect world. And, you know, you've got ultimately the Big Bash League is a crucial part of cricket's future. It's had a dicey few years. They want to, you know, they're hoping to sort of springboard into a better future with the more condensed format this year and into the new broadcast rights deal. And to do so, ideally, you want your best players and your big names and your fan favourites playing, and Scott Boland is certainly that. And especially in an era where you really can't rely on overseas players to be any more than bonuses now. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys pull out. Harry Brook was drafted by the Stars, pulled out. Quinton de Kock is coming for the Renegades but missing the early part because he's with the T10 and then heading off to South Africa for their T20 competition. Rashid Khan's out through injury. Harris Ralph and Pakistan's been a bit of a to and fro. So you can't rely on these guys, and I think you want to try to maximise the involvement of the Australian players.
I'd like to get the listeners' thoughts on it as well. Hey, Dan, I might just get you to just move away from your mic as well. It's just coming in a little bit hot for us there, so if you might be able to dial that down, I'll just move a couple of centimetres away from the mic. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, 0416 90 50 52. Let us know. Are you happy with Cricket Australia's decision to hold these guys back? Would you prefer to see all of the big guns out there playing in the early part of the Big Bash season? I must admit, if I was to share my opinion on it, I'd like to see them out there. I think it's important that the Big Bash succeeds for cricket here in this country. They've invested heavily in it. So I think whilst the guys have the opportunity to play, I think they should be out there playing. And if you get an injury, well, so be it. It's sport. That'd just be my thought on it. But I'd love to know what the listeners have to say on that. 0416 90 50 52 to get involved. We can certainly look forward to seeing some of the Stars in action tonight, though, because Steve Smith's going to be playing for the Sixers against the Renegades at the SCG.
Yeah, he is. And I think, look, this is also where Cricket Australia, it's not as though they have completely ignored the competition with the big guns, and they've tried to ensure that the batters have been playing. We saw that last night with Manus Labuschagne and Usman Khawaja, and then tonight it'll be Steve Smith, who obviously is an enormous draw card and had a very, very good cameo last year with the Sixers. I think he made two centuries, which really, revitalised his flagging T20 career at that point. And he's got to perform to sort of lock in his spot for the T20 World Cup next year, especially on the back of not a great ODI World Cup. I know that the formats are different, but it'd be great to see. Bit of a shame that he won't be going up against Nathan Lyon, but nonetheless, always good to see Steve Smith in action, and hopefully that sort of draws a few more along to the SCG. It'll be interesting to see how the Renegades combat him, and they've got Adam Zampa now, of course, as I touched on earlier. So those two have known each other for a long time, played cricket together against each other, and together as juniors. So have this intriguing sort of rivalry. I mean, usually they're teammates rather than foes, but Zampa knows him well, and whether he's able to work him out will be interesting to see.
In terms of the Test series coming up against Pakistan, a little bit to take out of the Prime Minister's 11 games so far across the first 2 days, particularly from an Australian standpoint, with a couple of openers that would be knocking on the door if something was a decision was to be made around David Warner. Cam Bancroft made 53 yesterday. Marcus Harris fell one short of a half century, made 49. Matthew Renshaw's 18 not out, and Cameron Green a 19 not out. So all four of those guys would be probably thinking that there's some sort of chance at playing Test cricket across the summer. What have you taken out of the Prime Minister's 11 games so far?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of delayed a day, this great bat-off, which we've been talking about for a few weeks now, after the Prime Minister's 11 bowled first, and a great effort from young Jordan Buckingham, who plays for South Australia from Victoria originally, taking a five for that fantastic effort. And I think he is sort of clearly on the national radar of the next few years. But the bat off was interesting. I mean, it's a bit of a stalemate, isn't it? 53-49 for Bancroft and Harris. I mean, you're really splitting the difference there. So it's one of those ones where, clearly neither has failed completely, but probably neither has made the score that they really would have wanted to go on and make a major case to replace David Warner when he slips out of the side at the very latest after the Sydney Test against Pakistan. We've got Renshaw in, as he said at the moment, who's got that chance still, and there is a second innings perhaps for both all these guys too, and Cameron Green, who they want to try to get back into the side sooner rather than later, but exactly where that is remains to be seen, whether it is that number four spot where he's batting now. A little bit of talk about him maybe opening, or Mitch Marsh opening, or Green staying back down at six or seven. So, look, there are options, but it's the picture is still pretty murky couple of days into that game.
Yeah, I reckon he's a real watch, Jordan Buckingham, across the summer. I know he's got probably Scott Boland and Lance Morris to jump, but having watched a bit of that Prime Minister's 11 game over the last couple of days. Gee, he bowled really, really well. He's a player that we can certainly look forward to in the future.
Yeah, he is incredible. I suppose bypassed by Victoria as a youngster, and then has moved across to South Australia and has done an exceptionally good job over the last few seasons, and just sort of keeps on stepping up. I think he played for one of the representative sides last summer against South Africa, and then was on the Australia A tour to New Zealand earlier this season. He's around the mark. I mean, he's not rapid, but he sort of looks like the kind of guy that could make an impact in England. He actually did have a brief county stint as well. So is the kind of guy that maybe they're looking at for the 2027 Ashes series. And it's a while away, but he's very much young enough. You know, they do still have, as you said, you know, there's probably still a few ahead of them in the queue. Obviously, the big three, then Boland and Morris. You know, Michael Neese has not gone away completely either. You've got Jai Richardson, who's fit again, at least for the moment, and bowling very well. So we're sort of pretty lucky in Australian cricket. There's plenty of good quicks, but Buckingham is one of them.
Dan Cherney from Code Sports is on the line. We're having a chat about the cricket, both the Big Bash, which got underway last night, and also looking ahead to the first test against Pakistan. Lots been made of the whole David Warner saga, I guess, in the lead up to this, and the comments back and forth between him and Mitchell Johnson, and Candace Warner's got involved as well. Do you think this will continue to be a distraction in the lead up to day one's play?
I think it'll continue to be a talking point. I mean, I don't know whether a distraction is right. I mean, it depends. I don't think it's going to distract the team hugely. Albeit David Warner claims that last summer he was distracted by his ongoing captaincy situation, and Cricket Australia's looking into that, which eventually fell over. But Warner is due to address the media today at a Fox and KO cricket launch. So, we'll hear his side of the story for the first time, which, you know, I'm sure there'll be plenty of interest in. There's going to be quite a few of the big names speaking there today. You know, perhaps once that's done, maybe it dies out. But then again, who knows? Mitchell Johnson, certainly if I was the editor of the West Australian, I'd be wanting Mitch to have another crack. So he might well write a column again this weekend on it. He's got his podcast still with Bharat Sundaresan, which is rolling along. And then he's going to be commentating for Triple M. So it's one of these ones which you will continue to... You know, the voices will continue to be there. It's just the extent to which they bite. So look, whether it's a distraction or not, clearly it's a bit of a soap opera and there's some public interest there. So look, it has spiced things up for better or for worse.
Hey, Dan, just quickly, a last one from me. There's a text here. What has happened to Jai Richardson? How's his comeback going?
Yeah, look, it's been a long time coming. He's had a lot of various issues over the years with injury and then had another setback at the start of this summer. But right, just now he's had actually a very good shield hit out last week against Queensland, bowled beautifully, I think took a four for and kept things very, very tight. So he's still very much a class act, not that old. You know, he made his debut very young, so he's still in the mix and I think they'd want to see just him stringing together a few games, but maybe the back half of the season. But he's not a million miles off either. And he's one that I think, as these big three get towards the end, they'd be very keen to get back into the side.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a real talent. Hopefully we do get to see the best of Jai Richardson once again, and hopefully it's this season. Dan, appreciate your time and your insight here on Summer Breakfast, and looking forward to seeing the second game of the Big Bash tonight, the Sixers and the Renegades, and chatting to you soon.
No worries. Always a pleasure.
Dan Cherney joining us there from Code Sports.